I don't know what it's like in your house on Sunday morning, but my Sunday morning starts earlier than some days, I confess. And it seemed today, every time I turned, something went wrong that was slowing me up and making me feel late. And I was rushing to get out of the house in time to get here. And as I was leaving the elevators in our condo to go to the parking, I met two people, both of whom are ministers. One was a woman heading off to her Baptist church in Etobicoke to preach, and the other was a man packing his car to go to the cottage. He's a retired Christian Forum minister. And when they saw me, they figured they knew where I was going, and Will said to me, "Are you going to preach?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Good luck." I need more than luck. Let's pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So the question is, why do you pray? Why do I pray? Why do any of us pray? And when do you pray? And how do you pray? Do you pray in the morning? Or at bedtime? Do you pray at meals? Do you pray on your knees, seated, or in bed? Do you pray out loud, or do you pray silently? Teach us to pray, the disciples of Jesus asked. All of us, I'm sure, have felt the inadequacy of our prayers at some time or other. Prayer can be especially difficult for a new person of faith, someone who's not heard a lot of prayers. Ministers sometimes invite new Christians to pray with them, and the new Christian might say, "I don't know how to pray. What should I say?" And the disciples said to Jesus, "Teach us to pray." Because even ministers sometimes feel inadequate when we pray. We'd like our prayers to be powerful and eloquent and expressive and moving. How can we do that? Would God be more inclined to answer our prayers if we kind of buttered God up first? Would God be more inclined to answer our prayers if we prayed for other people instead of ourselves? Would God be more inclined to answer our prayers if we kept it short and sweet? Or if we prayed with great passion? Would God be more inclined to answer our prayers if we prayed movingly, with beautiful words? Would God be more inclined to answer our prayers if we tithed first, if we helped the poor? The answer to these questions could be worth millions. Just imagine praying in such a way that God would always answer your prayers. If you could tap into that kind of power, you would become the most powerful person in the world. Jinping, Putin, Biden, move over. Here I come. But that wasn't in the heart of the disciples when they asked Jesus to teach them to pray. Because Jesus' disciples had seen him pray often. They knew him to be a deeply spiritual person, a man of prayer. Jesus had often gone off by himself to a private place to pray, and they had seen him return strengthened, glowing, empowered. How did Jesus pray? What did he say? The disciples want to know his secrets. Teach us to pray like John taught his disciples. When each of us was baptized, our parents and godparents, in fact, the church itself, like we did for Emerson this morning, promised to teach us things like the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments, the creeds of the church. During our confirmation years, many of us learned the meaning of each petition in the Lord's Prayer or each article in the Statement of Faith. And I'm fairly certain that for most of us, the Lord's Prayer is something that we can pretty much say without thinking. But maybe that's the problem. Each Sunday, Jason or I say, "And now as our Lord taught us, we pray together and we bow our heads and we recite the Lord's Prayer." But do we really think about what we are saying? I pray that we do. I believe we do. because the Lord's Prayer is such a perfect and beautiful prayer. However, I'm not sure that Jesus really intended for this to be used in the way it is used today, at least not with the mindset in which it is used. In today's gospel, one of Jesus' disciples, and we're not told which one of the disciples says, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us the way John taught his disciples." This request implies a need that the disciples felt, a need that we all feel at times, the need to be closer to and to speak with our Creator. I see this need, and I feel it in my own life all the time. I saw it a lot when I was a volunteer chaplain at the hospital, visiting with someone I didn't even know, someone who was critically ill or critically injured, and the one thing that they or their families wanted most was prayer. I've even met people on the street or in parking lots or at the mall, and they recognize me as having been involved in a wedding or a funeral, and they'll come out and say, "Would you pray for me?" It happens here on Thursdays at the meal program and at the food bank in Etobicoke where I volunteer. People receive their food and they say, "Please pray for me." Sometimes people say, "I haven't prayed in years. I'm not sure I remember how. Will you do it?" More than once, a person has come to the front door of this church saying, "My husband or my wife or my child is next door at St. Mike's having surgery. I need a place to pray." And when I offer to pray with them, you'd think I'd given them the biggest gift in the world. Because there's a tremendous power in prayer, and that power is not just in the comforting nature that seems to come from having someone pray for you. That power goes beyond a simple recitation of words. Jesus' disciples understood not only the need for prayer, but also the power of prayer. And what Jesus gave them, and what the gospel gives us today, was and is an incredible gift, a model for prayer, a wonderful model. But I have to believe that Jesus did not intend for this model to become the only prayer that some of us pray. So let me repeat the question. Why do you pray? Why do any of us pray? Well, there are many reasons for praying. I remember as a child, well, probably a teenager, praying that I might do well in a test or an exam. It didn't always work. I'm sure many of you have prayed in a similar fashion. And in most cases, I discovered that it was wise to study before I prayed and pray that the Spirit would help me remember what I studied. Similarly, I'm sure most of us have prayed for help with a specific problem or for relief from an injury because of illness. You may have prayed for a relative or a friend who was in trouble. You may have prayed because of financial trouble. I had one person tell me once, actually told me this several times, "I've prayed and prayed for God to give me the money I need, but God just doesn't seem to answer me." I'm sure we've all prayed something similar to that, and this person was just being really honest. So why do I pray? Why do you pray? For some reason, I'm not exactly sure how or why this happened, but for some reason, us United Church people are not always really good at praying, at least not at composing prayers. I was aware of this fact before I went to seminary, but I really became aware of it the first time I went to a campus Christian fellowship in which there were a couple of Baptists and Pentecostals. And let me tell you, they know how to pray. And for them, praying comes as naturally as breathing. And when one prays, they all pray in a communal prayer in which all participate. It sweeps over you and carries you along in a joyful flood of communication with our Creator. But for many of us United Church people, and most of our Protestant brothers and sisters, we just can't seem to find the rhythm and the beauty of prayer. And I'm not trying to sound critical of us, but that's just part of our and my experience. Because you see, prayer is not just offering up to God our needs and then sitting back and waiting for God to give us what we want. Prayer has a rhythm to it. Prayer has a spirit. It should involve our complete attention, physically, emotionally, spiritually. We need to learn how to pray as children. Not necessarily just when we are physically children, but as children of God. We are the children of God, and we need to grow our prayer life and be in conversation with God, not just here at church, but everywhere. Certainly some of us are more comfortable with praying than others, but we can all become more comfortable with prayer because prayer is how we connect with God. Prayer is how we communicate with God. It's a conversation. When you pray, God is right there with you, listening, responding. But unfortunately, at least when I pray, I don't know about you, I often forget that it is a conversation. And often, I don't stick around long enough for God to answer. When you have a conversation with a friend, you don't do all the talking and then get up and leave the room. You give your friend time to communicate, to contribute to the conversation. When we pray, we need to give God time to respond. Why do we pray? Prayer can be for so many different reasons, but we most often pray when we're in trouble or when we need something. But think about this. As children of God, as children of the Creator, when we pray, maybe we should approach God the way a child approaches a parent. When Jesus taught his friends to pray, he started with Father. In Luke's gospel, he uses the Greek word pateros, translated Father. But Jesus, when he was speaking with his friends, would have used the Aramaic word Abba, a word more accurately translated Daddy. Watch a small child when he or she addresses Daddy. Watch his or her eyes, because you'll see a sense of love, of adoration, of trust when that word is spoken. A few weeks ago, my precious little granddaughter was diagnosed with diabetes. And it was much harder for her parents than for her because one of her dads said, "She's always counted on Daddy to fix everything and I can't fix this." But he did help her and they got her the medical help she needed. When a child speaks to mommy or daddy, there's trust. There's communication, there's love, there's adoration. I remember well being called Daddy. Now it's more like, "Hey, old guy." But I remember how it made me feel when I'd hear one of my sons say, "Daddy." It made me feel needed, it made me feel loved and appreciated. And I've got to believe that God must feel that way when we, as God's children, are as familiar and loving when we begin a prayer with such adoration. Sometimes a child's conversation with a parent is simply comprised of the child saying, "I love you." And what you as a parent or grandparent do for your child is saying, "I love you." And isn't that a good place to start? When we pray to our heavenly parent, "Abba, I love you. Mommy, Daddy, Grammy, Grandpa, I love you." And don't children also talk to their parents to say, "I'm sorry"? Confession is a form of prayer that we need to consider as well. "Abba, I love you, and I'm sorry I blew it. Please forgive me." And don't we teach our children to say thank you as well? Thanksgiving is a legitimate prayer form. Loving God, mother, father, Daddy, mommy, I love you. I thank you for all that you've done. I give you thanks. I praise your goodness and mercy. Our children also come to us when they are in need. They come to us when they are fearful. They come to us because they know that we are a source of loving help. They come to us to ask for our assistance. No matter how old you are, you always know that you can go to a parent or a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle for help, and you know that they'll be there. And isn't that one of the reasons we grieve so when our grandparents and parents are gone? There's a sense of loss in our lives, and we don't know who to turn to when we're alone. But the good news is that we aren't alone, ever. We always have a parent in God, our Creator. We always have one to whom we can turn in a time of need. Just as a child turns to his or her parents with a request, we too can turn to God with our supplication. God, I come to you as your child with all the love in my heart. I confess to you that I've done things that are wrong, and I ask for your forgiveness. And God, for all that you do for me, for the forgiveness you've granted, the grace which you've blessed me, I give you thanks and praise. And you, O God, know all things. You know what's in my heart and mind. You know my fears and needs. So please walk with me. Show me your way, so that I may gain strength from your presence. The Lord's Prayer is a perfect prayer, but let me assure you, God isn't looking for perfection. God is looking for love, sincerity. So don't let my words make you feel awkward or uncomfortable. Instead, be encouraged to pray often, to pray from your heart. Don't be afraid to let your emotions show. And when others pray, join in. Be joyful and supportive with their prayers. Don't be silent. Make a joyful noise when you're speaking with God. But then be silent and listen for what God is saying. I think that's the key, to keep those lines of communication open and to know that no matter how things are turning out, God is with you, God is present, God is listening. I'm sure that we've all experienced more answers to prayer than we can even remember or number. Answers to prayer we can hardly know how to articulate. Praise God for what you have. Ask God for what you need. Pray to be a part of God's reign on this earth by accepting and offering forgiveness. Risk being open to others as God in Christ was open to us. Ask, search, knock, and know that somebody's on the other side of the door, ready to open it. May God guide us and help us and keep us. Thanks be to God.